Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost very, very, very narrowly by a score of 113 to 111. A very chaotic sequence at the end of the game where the Raptors' third stringers going against the Celtics' third stringers. And, the Raptors had tied it with a three from Sam Dekker. Then the Raptors had tied it once again with a pull-up jumper from David Johnson. And, you know, after fouling for no reason, really, fouling in the backcourt, trying to pressure the ball in a tie game when you have no fouls to give, you know, just as quickly as David Johnson tied the game with a very clutch basket, then immediately reversed that by committing a silly foul. Celtics go up two. Raptors have 7 seconds left. They drop a play. Delano Banton gets a wide open three. Not necessarily the best outcome considering Delano is not a shooter at this point. Misses the three. Isaac Bonga is there on the tip. He misses the tip in. And then Delano comes in with the second tip and he catches the loose ball, puts it up. That actually goes in, but replay review confirmed that it was just a split second too late. So unfortunately, no overtime in preseason. But it was a very fun game. It was honestly a pretty good crowd in Boston. It seemed like there was a lot of good energy in the building. And even though both teams smartly took off their starters midway through the third quarter, if not by the end of the third quarter, it was still quite competitive. And it wasn't looking that way earlier on. First quarter, the Raptors only had 16 points. We're down 31-16. I didn't even think the Celtics were playing that great. The Raptors were just beating themselves, making just bad plays on both ends of the floor. I mean, often these things sort of snowball in basketball, but the Raptors were kind of playing very static offense, you know, very ragged, not a lot of passing. The Celtics were also doing a lot of switching, which took the Raptors out of their normal offense just a little bit. They had no rhythm to their offense. They fired up a number of jumpers that were air balls, and the Celtics ran the other way. The Raptors' transition defense was not very good. Guys were getting back cut. You know, the Raptors were making a couple of mistakes in terms of over-helping as well. And so the Raptors were playing poorly. But second quarter, complete difference. The Raptors went from scoring 16 points in the first quarter to 43 in the second quarter. Just a much more a typical performance on the Raptors in the sense that they were getting what they wanted. They were starting to dictate the style of play. Of course, the Celtics, you know, took their foot off the gas pedal a little bit. Also, the Celtics bench looks pretty bad. It seems like Peyton Pritchard burns the Raptors every time he plays the Raptors. But everybody else on that bench, not very good. Whereas the Raptors were able to sort of climb back into the game. Their second unit was giving them good production. And it kind of just snowballed from there. And the Raptors starters were much better in their second shift, started making some threes. Fred VanVleet, 6 of 8 from 3. OG Anunoby hits 3 threes as well. That gets them back into the game. And then it's sort of just a back-and-forth affair. So really in the important moments, which was really through three quarters, the Raptors were, right there. They were up one through three quarters. That part is encouraging in the sense that there were some pretty nice stretches of basketball and a lot of things you can get excited about. I think, for one, OG Anunoby's offensive skill set seems to be expanding. It was a little strange watching this game because OG didn't really impose his will on the game early in the first quarter. Wasn't very involved. You know, try to force one or two shots, but, you know, didn't really work out. You know, the whole starting unit was struggling. But the second quarter and third quarter, OG was looking for his own offense, and it was fun to watch. With OG, you can tell that he's been expanding his offensive skill set. And, you know, it's no longer just he's scoring off of plays where guys are setting him up. He's getting the ball and he's creating for himself. I mean, you're seeing him take step back jumpers, you know, cross between the legs 2-3 times, get the defender shifted one way, and then boom, sidestep for a three. He's pulling up for three very regularly. He's definitely looking to get those shots up. 8 threes in 29 minutes. That's very good. Honestly, I think that OG should be able to continue that in the regular season. He's going to need to look for that. And then to pair it along with the driving game as well, had a really nice drive where he took it inside off a baseline drive, beat help defender and his own defender both at the basket for a reverse layup while falling over. Just, you know, a really impressive sequence where he just, you know, continues to showcase what he has worked on in the offseason. It's very apparent that OG has been in the lab, so to speak. And I'm very excited to see that carry over to the regular season. I think for the most part, OG is still taking good shots, mostly good shots. One thing you like, for example, today, you know, even though he was only 6 of 14 from the field, like only one turnover in the game, he's making, generally speaking, pretty good decisions. And honestly, like, he's just looking sharp. I don't know. It's a very different type of play, because I think OG has had plenty of games where he had 17 points, but not this, you know, in the preseason so far. He's really been generating for himself. That's been fun to watch. I think Fred VanVleet has been the other guy that has been very sharp. Maybe defensively, I think that he's not going 100% defensively just yet. Didn't help that early in this game, he caught a shoulder to the head from Robert Williams III. That's a 7-footer, a 6-foot guard running into a 7-footer. A little bit of a scary play. Fred seemed okay, but he was shaken up. The Raptors had to call timeout because Fred was lying there. And, you know, coming out the timeout, he seemed okay. He continued to play. He was fine the rest of the game. Honestly, played very well as well. But, you know, those are the two guys that you expect to be your consistent leaders, especially without Pascal to start the season. You need Fred VanVleet and OG Anunoby to be good. The two of those guys have been good in all three games so far. Fred, 22 points tonight, 8 of 15 shooting, 6 of 8 from 3. Didn't show off as much as of the in-between game that Raptor fans have been wanting to see from him in terms of getting into that mid-range area, driving to the rim and finishing. Not a lot of that. And quite honestly, the way the Celtics play defense doesn't really allow Fred to get that many good looks in the paint. Celtics are very good at collapsing the paint. They switch a lot. So it's a little hard to get downhill off a screen, for example. There's not much of an advantage because they're generally switching and trying to contain. And then when they do concede a drive, the Celtics are very help conscious, and they have a pretty strong set of defenders, you know, between Tatum, Horford, you know, Williams is a really, really great shot blocker. Marcus Smart as well, like, they'll just collapse the paint. So it's a little hard for Fred to sort of get downhill and completely operate in the paint, but he adjusted by hitting threes. And that's obviously the primary weapon that Fred offers, is that three-point shot. It was very sharp today, obviously 6 of 8. One sequence that stood out was, you know, Fred in the second quarter tries to go at a mismatch, at least what he thought was a mismatch against Robert Williams. And the way he attacked this mismatch was he drove downhill against Robert Williams after crossing up a couple of times, try to take it to the hoop. You know, look, Robert Williams is a very, very athletic 7-footer. He easily blocked Fred on that play. Next trip down, Fred gets the same mismatch against Robert Williams. This time, he strings him out, takes a couple of dribbles, and basically from like 30, maybe even 32 feet, like, it was very, very far from the basket. He was, I don't know, 6-7 feet behind the three-point line at the top of the floor, and then Fred just pulls the three and hits that over Robert Williams. I mean, look, that's the adjustment. That is the adjustment for Fred, because he's small. Sometimes, like, a shot from 32 feet is better than a shot from 2 feet for Fred. And he looked sharp. I just think that, you know, defensively, that's the only area where there's been a couple of times, whether it was against the two games against Philly where he struggled a little bit to contain Seth Curry. Not even struggle, just like, you know, this is preseason. He's not 100% giving, like, the all-out effort defensive that you'd usually expect from Fred. You know, you saw Seth Curry burn him a couple of times. You saw Marcus Smart, for example, get around Fred a couple of times. I thought Smart played a pretty good game, even though he was 2 of 7. Did a pretty good job of distributing for his teammates. Obviously, now that, you know, you no longer have Kemba Walker, and because he was traded for Al Horford in the offseason, you know, you have to really rely on Marcus Smart for the Celtics to create some offense. I thought Smart did a pretty good job of getting downhill, making some nice passes. But there are really no complaints with OG and Fred so far. Those guys coming into the year, this is a talk about the leadership. These guys are going to be the new young leaders of the team, along with Pascal when he's back. they've shown it. They've led up by example on the court. They have looked really, really solid. And then, to be honest, the other guys, I thought Scottie played a really nice game. And you might say, well, 9 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, you know, that doesn't necessarily sound that impressive. But I will have to say that the Raptors got most of their offense in the first half off of playing through Barnes in the post. Or at least having Barnes handle the ball at the top of the floor, where he has just done a really good job of dishing it out to his teammates, made a pair of really nice passes when Scottie has played with the second unit, which has been quite often. Nick has subbed Scottie out first among the starters to sort of bring him in early with the second unit and let him run there. And Scottie Barnes set up Gary Trent Jr. on 2 cutting layups. That was very nice to see. I think one thing with Scottie that is a true advantage for him is that he just is 6 foot. He's 6 foot eight, sees over the defense, and he seems to be able to make most of the passes. I mean, he doesn't seem to be as high risk with the passes as someone like Delano Banton, for example, who's like 6'9". You know, Delano did a better job today. I mean, didn't play much, only 6 minutes, but no turnovers. And actually have made a couple of nice plays. But one thing that you've seen from Delano in both Summer League and a couple of preseason here is that he'll try to run full speed in transition, and he has a specific pass in mind. And if that pass is taken away, or if the defense is sort of sagging back, then he's either rushing into a shot or he's forcing the pass and turning it over. You don't really see that with Scottie. He's a little bit more measured. You can definitely tell that Scottie is doing a really good job of surveying the floor. And I like him in the middle of the floor too, because, you know, from that position, first off, you can make most passes, right? You can, you know, you could feed the wing, you feed the cut through the lane. You can go left, go right. You know, most of the options are there for him. But I think it also just gets the Raptors off ball. So, you know, whether that means that, you know, you can have Fred VanVleet, who you would like to have shoot a couple of threes because he's such a good shooter. You know, well, Fred could either get his own three by getting a screen and then sort of seeing how the defense plays it and then pulling up. But in a game like this against the Celtics, they're switching a lot, right? So you're not going to see the drop back against the center. Then all of a sudden it's 2-on-1 at the point of the screen. Fred gets to pull up for three. If it's a good screen, there are no advantages there. So how do you get Fred some threes? Well, you give the ball to Scottie in the middle of the floor. You work a couple of dribble handoffs, things like that. And look, you know, you could still switch a dribble handoff, but you know, the Raptors were getting some good looks off there, and Scottie's passing has really impressed. He leads the Raptors in assists through 3 games so far in preseason, and it's not like he has the ball all the time as the point guard. He's not necessarily getting the ball and then operating off a screen and trying to attack that way, maybe once or twice per game, but for the most part, he's sort of just picking out passes within the flow of the game. And it's been fun to watch. Obviously in transition as well, Scottie has proven to be a pretty good distributor, but that part's been a really nice piece of his game that has definitely translated from the college level. Because, you know, the way the Raptors are playing right now, it's a lot of positionless basketball, but at the same time, you still need someone to orchestrate the offense. And with Fred having to carry such a big offensive load with the scoring, with OG having to carry a lot of big offensive load, the other guys being able to play make around them so they can spot up for threes is really, really nice. And I thought Scottie had some really nice moments with the playmaking. Offensively with Scottie, I mean, look, it's the three is not there for him yet, right? 0 for 3 from 3. He took the right shots. They were in rhythm. They were sequences that were intended to get him open threes, and he missed those shots. I just think that that's something that is going to be a work in progress for him this season. That's a big, you know, factor, swing factor in his growth in his career so far. Is that, you know, as soon as he can get that three-pointer going, that's really when it's going to start to look a little scary for Scottie. But even in the meantime, though, even without that three, he's been effective. He makes a lot of good plays on defense as well. Although I have to say, though, there were a couple of sequences today where Scottie was a step out of position defensively, especially early in the game. You know, the Raptors had found themselves isolated in the post a few times. The Celtics love to hunt for mismatches, especially for a guy like Jason Tatum. They love to get them screens. Tatum gets into that mid-range, that post area. And the Raptors were, you know, just the Raptors, look, they're generally very help-conscious teams. So they'll usually help, especially against a star player. But twice where Scotty helped in the post by digging down, but was sort of halfway with it, didn't really hard pressure, didn't really like try to take away everything and really pressure, was kind of just like, you know, taking a step in and sort of see what's there, basically cheating off his man a little bit. And both times Al Horford was able to get the open kick out from the post for a three. Those are things that, you just have to really know your personnel. Obviously, it's totally fine if you're guarding like Robert Williams, for example, to help off the three-point line because he's not a threat to shoot. But a guy like Horford, he's primarily a three-point shooter at this point. He was 4-for-4 from three tonight. Actually, Al Horford actually had a really nice game. It surprised me, honestly. He had a like transition dunk as well. I mean, I forgot this guy's like 33 years old. You know, Scotty needs to sort of pick his spots there. But at the same time, there's also really exciting moments with Scotty. Like, I thought he did a really good job banging in the post against some of these guys. He played a lot of backup center with the second unit, partially because the Raptors want to see what it looks like with him as a second unit center, but also partially because the second unit center is supposed to be Freddie Gillespie at this current moment with, Ken Burch and Chris Boucher hurt. So you would ideally give those minutes to Freddie to see what he could do, but Gillespie has just been really bad throughout the three preseason games and also in summer league. So Nick is all three games really found the spot where he's just like, look, I just got to pull him and give those minutes to Scotty instead. And Scotty has looked really good in that backup center position. He's unlocked a lot of switchability for the Raptors from that spot, because then all of a sudden when he's playing center, when their sequence is evolving the screens, like, he can just switch out to the guards, and that at least on paper limits some of the dribble penetration that they're going to concede defensively. But also at the same time, Scotty has shown pretty good strength. Like, he had a couple of sequences where he was matched up against Enes Kanter, and you might say, look, it's just Enes Kanter, whatever. Enes Kanter is a very good post player. When he gets the ball down low in the post, he's going to finish. And Enes Kanter was 1 of 7. Not saying Scotty was blocking him every single time, but definitely muscled him up, bodied him, pressured the shot, got a couple of misses to occur, and that's good. But then, of course, there's also the most impressive sequence from Scotty in this game, and maybe the most impressive sequence the whole game out of anybody who played, was that Jason Tatum had Scotty 1-on-1 try to go to his patented step back move. And listen, Jason Tatum is 6'9", 7-foot wingspan, really high shot release point. Not an easy guy to block his shot. In fact, he's able to get his shot pretty much against anybody because he's a very skilled player, but also because he's just so tall. And Freddie not only Scotty not only stayed with Tatum, contained the drive, but after Tatum did the step back move, Scotty got up there and blocked the three. It was really impressive. It was really impressive. The Raptors were able to recover the ball. And in that same sequence, Scotty goes on the other way down the floor. Precious Achiuwa, the center, quote-unquote center. Again, it's positionless, really. But the center collected the loose ball, pushes the break. It's a 3-on-2 break. And then he feeds Scotty, filling the wing for a transition dunk right after that play. I mean, look, that's if you could take one specific play and extrapolate that towards the bigger identity of the entire team, that is it. Scotty Barnes, 6'9", playing point guard, playing center, playing, I don't really know. I mean, just, guarding point guards, guarding centers, but really truly being positionless, going up against one of the premier scorers in the NBA, blocks his shot 1-on-1 and then sprints down the other way while the other so-called center is leading the break and feeding him for the dunk. I mean, That's what the Raptors want to do. That's why the Raptors have so many of these 6'9 guys. And that part was fun to watch. So I think, in terms of the three most exciting players out of this game, you have to go with, Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, and Scotty Barnes from the Raptors side. And honestly, you got to give Precious some love too. Precious, I think if you only made a highlight reel, and I mean that by in the sense of like, if you only made a compilation of all the good things Precious Achiuwa did, you might look at it and go, wow, this guy is incredible. No wonder the Raptors traded Kyle Lowry for him with Miami. As good as Kyle is, this guy Precious is amazing. Cause he'll take the ball coast to coast repeatedly. He's very fast with the ball. He'll show a little bit of a touch in terms of, there's a play where he pushed the pace off a loose ball. Took it end to end. Enes Kanter was guarding him. Kept backing up because he's expecting Precious to drive to the rim, and so he's trying to take that away. Precious fluidly goes from 100 miles per hour in transition, stops on a dime, just a little bit inside the free throw line, and just effortlessly knocks down a pull up mid range jumper. You'll see him stripping Jason Tatum repeatedly. You'll see him getting 13 rebounds. You'll see him, one on three opportunity where he gets the offensive rebound and he somehow blasts through the Celtics' interior defense and gets inside for a layup. And you're like, wow, this guy's really impressive. There's another play where it seemed like the Celtics are about to break down the Raptors' defense. Marcus Smart, I think, threw up a lob to someone at the rim, and Precious Achiuwa just instantly jumps up there, blocks it, sparks another fast break. All that's good. Having said that, though, there are a lot of chaotic moments with Precious. I'm never really fully sure what he's going to do when he gets the ball or what's about to happen. It's really an adventure almost every single time. Look, the three-point shot was not there for him today, 0 for 4. Some of them were out of rhythm. Some of them were in rhythm. To be honest, though, like if he's not necessarily even knocking down his free throws at an elite clip, it's a little bit hard to envision him knocking his three-pointers in. There's just not a lot of examples of that. Usually you get really, really good at free throws as an indicator of how good you are as a jump shooter, and then you maybe extrapolate that to three-pointers or whatever like that. I think Precious could make them, but today he was 0 for 4. Some of the misses look pretty bad. And honestly, he just has some pretty erratic sequences sometimes where his decision-making with the ball, maybe because he's moving so fast, maybe because he's so capable of making so many moves that, he's not necessarily always going up the right way. And it was strange. He had 13 and 13, was still a minus 11 to 29 minutes, even though he made so many good plays. There were a couple of opportunities sort of left on the table, and that's okay, really. But on the whole, I think you'd like a lot of what you saw from four of the Raptors starters tonight. I continue to be baffled by Goran Dragic starting. Not necessarily because I expect a 35-year-old veteran to be going all out in preseason. Clearly, he is not going all out in preseason. That's fine. But at the same time, I just don't really see what the specific fit is, because if Scotty can handle the ball as much as he can, and we saw today, I mean, leading the team in assists, 8 assists. If Precious Achiuwa can push the break, and I understand Precious, when everyone's healthy, may or may not start. But if OG's also getting one-on-one touches and Fred VanVleet is just your primary point guard, why are you having Goran Dragic in the starting lineup? It makes a lot more sense for him to run with the bench where he can actually handle the ball a little bit. And plus, Goran was a big part of the Raptors' struggles in the first quarter, missing a couple of shots, driving in, trying to get some foul calls. They didn't come, driving a little wildly into contact, trying to get the call, doesn't get the call. That's essentially a turnover. I thought things go the other way. I haven't really seen a lot in terms of what Goran has brought to the starting lineup specifically, where Nick has made a point to start him on all three games. That hasn't really, there must be something different happening in practice than what we're seeing on the court. But for the most part, the Raptors starters played decently. They made a good comeback against the Celtics, and the Celtics had, most of their main players as well. The only guy they were missing was Jaylen Brown, who unfortunately has COVID, so he's recovering. And I guess maybe you would say, well, that balances out because the Raptors didn't have Pascal. In any case, you wanted to see the Raptors starters go up against the Celtics starters. And, the first quarter was bad. The first quarter was just generally bad. The Raptors weren't playing well. But second quarter, they responded well. Third quarter, they played it even. And you're pretty happy with that, because I think people are, generally speaking, when you're looking at the Celtics, probably saying that that's like, I don't know, at least the top six team in the Eastern Conference. And the Raptors, even without a couple of their main players, played them even. So that was exciting. I thought some of the Raptors bench guys also showed what they had as well. So on the other side of this break, let's discuss the Raptors secondary players on the Raptors Reaction Podcast or Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome back to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Liu. Continue to recap the Raptors 113-111 loss to the Celtics in preseason. In terms of the second unit guys, two things. Well, one, we got to see the second unit guys play a lot more, and some of it was pretty good from them. Some of them was really, really forgettable. Let's start with the positives. I thought Svi Mihailuk, once again, was very good, very productive off the bench in 22 minutes. Really, you could nitpick at a couple of things. He drove into the lane a few times and lost the handle. Again, the Celtics have pretty good interior defenders, and so if you're going to take it inside, you just got to take it really strong, because I thought Svi got stripped a couple of times. But on the whole, Svi looked really nice. I liked his confidence. I liked his aggression. First off, to the point of confidence, he had a breakaway dunk where he got a great steal on the wing. You know, just a great play where if you steal and deflect the ball while the other team is trying to throw it from one wing to the other, you're getting yourself a free dunk. And so Svi goes in completely uncontested and decided to turn his body around and throw a reverse, with maybe even a double pump, but definitely a one pump on a reverse dunk. And it did not go through the first try. The ball hit the rim and it bounced around a couple of times. It mercifully, it did drop, because if it didn't, he would end up on some low light reels, which would be unfortunate. But it's funny, because Svi did the same dunk like two nights ago against Philly. Maybe that's just his patented dunk, just like how Zach LaVine dunked from the free throw line 10 times to win a dunk contest one time. Maybe that's just Svi's patented dunk, is just when he's on the breakaway, he's got to show off that, vintage Cleveland Cavaliers, the first time version of LeBron James on the fast break. But Svi has looked really good. He looks pretty productive. He had a play that I really liked, which was he had a semi-open three, missed it just short. The ball rimmed just a little bit, rimmed out just a little bit. Raptors get the offensive rebound. The guy kicks it right back to Svi. Svi relocates just like 5 feet from where he missed the three, and even more contested look, but this time, no hesitation, once again, goes up and bangs in the three. You need that kind of aggression when you're a three-point shooter, because you need to command that attention from the defense. You need to make the defenders think, this guy will shoot every single time. So you really need to at least establish that threat. And also, you need to make the threes. And I think Svi has been pretty efficient with his offense so far. 2-for-5 from three today. Makes a couple of nice plays. Gets into the lane. Has moved well without the basketball. Defensively, I haven't seen that many problems. I think one thing working in his favor is that he's 6'7". So even if guys want to take him on one-on-one, he's a big dude. He's not really backing down. His foot speed looks okay, right? I'm not saying that left on an island against, Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant, like, oh yeah, this guy's just going to hold his own. No one's going to do that, really. But I think within a team concept, even the Celtics tried to attack him a couple of times and intentionally tried to get the switch so that Mihailuk was guarding, let's say, Tatum or somebody like that. I thought he did fine. It didn't really seem like that big of an issue. And offensively, he just continues to sort of give the Raptors a spark. When the Raptors were down, 15 points after the first quarter, it was Svi Mihailuk who made a number of plays at the start of that second quarter to sort of get the offense rolling. And of course, the Raptors' offense rolled in that quarter, 43 points scored in the second. But Svi has looked really nice. And for a guy who was signed late in terms of the offseason, didn't really make a lot of noise when he was signed, I think he's going to factor into the rotation when the season starts. And I kind of like that. I like the fact that you have a guy who can sort of operate on or off the ball. I think second unit is going to play, generally speaking, they're going to play pretty good defense. With some of the athleticism, some of the youth that they have. But on offense, they really do need someone who is going to try to be aggressive and trying to create. And I think that you have Svi on one side. And then on the other side, I would ideally like to see Goran Dragic, because you do need a steady point guard. And I'll talk about that in a second, because Malachi Flynn has not been that for the second unit. But if it's not Goran Dragic, if it's Gary Trent, even that works too. I thought Gary had a good game today. 5-for-14 from the field is not great, but you know that he's going to shoot better than 2-for-7 usually from three. And I like the way Gary was. I just like this, the way he operated, similar to Svi, right? Like, he had two of his first Two of his five baskets were on plays where he sort of cut through the lane. Scotty Barnes found him, finished. One was an and one through contact. You want to see that as part of his game, because of course he's good in mostly primarily shoot jumpers, right? Like the other game, for example, he took 12 shots, all 12 were jumpers. And you're not going to see Gary Trent drive the ball all the way to the basket and finish that often, just because that's not necessarily his game. But still, as a shooter and stuff like that, you should be able to move off ball and sort of, you know, on plays where you're supposed to be curling to come up top to lift up top for a three. Maybe you cut back door instead and you catch the defense sort of overplaying you and you get a layup like that. Those are things that he should be able to do. And Spee has done a good job of doing that. We saw Gary do that as well. And then the three is just something that Gary's going to hit at a pretty high clip. 2 of 7 today, you know, is fine. But you would expect to see a little bit better than that. But I liked his activity there. I think his aggression on defense was notable. Although I will have to say that there were more gambles than sort of solid defensive decisions, which might infuriate a coach. And what I mean by that is Gary was definitely in the right place trying to make the right defensive play. He, for example, he tried to step in for a charge of like, I don't know, 4 or 5 times in this game. Don't think he actually drew a charge in any of those. Guys might have to get around him, or maybe he'll step late or whatever. But you liked his effort there in terms of trying to, you know, make something happen defensively. You also see him quite often attack the ball and really reach in and really try to pressure the ball. The only thing with that is, it's sort of a high risk kind of play. If you don't really come up with the specific stop yourself, then you're really putting a disadvantage on the rest of your teammates in terms of making up for that gamble. I would say Gary gambles a little bit defensively, or at least he did in this game. But I like the way Gary played for the most part. There were not that many shots with Gary that you really took exception with. Whether he makes them or not is another issue. But I think the process of sort of how he played was good off the second unit. And, you know, I think Champagne, even though he didn't really have a big stat line, 3 points in 18 minutes, I think he's also playing really, really well. This is probably just as good of a game as he's played in other preseason games where he's had bigger box score stats, mostly because I know that the Raptors love players who can create deflections. And Champagne has consistently, every single game, come up with like 3-4 deflections. And in the second quarter where the Raptors went on that 43-26 run over the quarter, a lot of that was started by Champagne creating deflections and just making good defensive plays in, you know, within the Raptors scheme. And, you know, you look at his stat line, 2 steals, 2 blocks, that's good. And really, you don't really need Champagne to give you like 17 points like he did in the first preseason game. That's nice. That's great. You would never turn down points, but how you're going to get into Nick Nurse's rotation is if you play defense, if you create deflections, if you spark the fast break. And I think Champagne has done that consistently throughout so far. He has looked really nice on that front. And similar to Mihailuk, even though you don't necessarily expect these guys to maybe be in the final rotation, you know, when everyone's healthy or if they're in a serious moment in the playoffs or something like that. But honestly, I think starting in, you know, day one of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if Champagne played like 10 minutes off the bench. If Svee gave you like 12, 15 minutes off the bench, I don't think that would be that surprising. These guys have been very positive in all three of these games. And I think they've been pleasant surprises. Now, on the flip side of it, Malachi Flynn has been disappointing. You know, 15 minutes for Malachi today, 0 for 6 from 3. Some of those are really good open looks that he missed. I mean, look, that sucks. What can you really do? But I think one thing is you can't really just be all or nothing with your jump shot when you're a point guard. You still need to find ways to create, right? Like you look at it sucks to make this comparison, but you look at Peyton Pritchard on the other side. Another guy who was drafted last year, another small point guard, another guy who was drafted late in the first round. I think Peyton Pritchard was like 22-ish, and of course, Malachi was 29. You know, Pritchard was making good plays out there. Yes, he was relying on the three. You know, he took 9 shots. 7 of those were threes. He made 3 of 7 from three, including some pretty deep ones, including a deep pull-up over Malachi right in his eye. And that's you know, it's a make or miss league. You know, I'm sure there are some games where Malachi will make 3 threes and Peyton Pritchard will miss all of them. But the difference is Peyton Pritchard was able to get into the paint and create opportunities, you know, 5 assists in 17 minutes. You just didn't see that from Malachi. He didn't really have that big of an impact. He would set up the play, I guess, but he wasn't creating. I think that's a little different. I think, look, you can get assists by being, you know, the trigger man in the play on where, okay, so you have the ball on the wing. They're going to run a screen. A guy's going to try to come up top. You pass the ball to him and he hits the jumper. Yes, you get an assist, and that counts for an assist just like everything else. But it's a little bit different than if you run a pick and roll and you get downhill a little bit, you force a third defender over and you kick it out to the corner. That's an assist that you sort of really created for other people because you created that initial advantage and then you distributed that advantage off to someone else who was able to score. So far, it hasn't really felt like that for Malachi. It's been a lot of, you know, he's just either trying to spot up for three, which is fine. I think his three-point shot is improved despite the fact that he was over 6 tonight. But you also want to see him get downhill, work a pick and roll, put a little pressure on the defense, you know, get someone an easy shot. And that just doesn't really happen with Malachi so far. It's been disappointing to see. If anything, honestly, even though Delano Banton is such a different style of point guard, you know, Delano is almost, I mean, it's almost weird to call them both point guards, right? Because Malachi is, you know, 6'2", mostly relying on his jumper, relying on his quickness. You know, whereas you go with Delano, 6'9", wild, doesn't really shoot the three, plays at 100 miles per hour, you know, very little change of pace considering the fact that he's really just only going at one specific pace. So you're not really necessarily changing much. But Delano has almost done a little bit better in that sense where, okay, Delano will turn the ball over, although today he didn't, but Delano's able to sort of take his man off the dribble, stretch around his guy, get to the rim, put some pressure at the basket. And if you can get downhill, that's always a great trade for a point guard because then all of a sudden you're going to draw extra bodies to, you're going to be able to dish it off a little bit. And yeah, I mean, how many times so far in the preseason have we seen Malachi get downhill, for example, right? So, you know, in terms of, look, I was not critical, but I was curious as to why Nick hasn't played much of Malachi or put him in any important spots. And I continue to be a little bit confused, but at the same time, you also see the, like, look, the results haven't necessarily been there. So you would expect to see more from Malachi because if you're going to be completely honest, if the season started today, and let's say you have Yuta Watanabe back for the start of the season, because apparently his calf injury is not that serious, and you get Chris Boucher back like 1 week, maybe not even a week into the season, considering he had surgery on his hand, but it's a very minor surgery. You maybe expect him to come back, or Kevin Birch is, you know, back from COVID protocols or whatever. With things the way they are so far with the 3 preseason games, I don't think Malachi would even be in the rotation. And that's disappointing based on what he did last year as a rookie. I think in the starting lineup, you would go with Fred. You would go with either Goran or Gary. You would go with Scotty Barnes. You would go with OG and, you know, either Chris Boucher or Ken Birch, right, in the starting five. But to be honest, with the way Precious is playing, maybe Precious starts. But still, those 5 guys are going to be there. Then off the bench, you will have a Ken Birch, right, as your first big off the bench, or Precious. You will have whichever one of Goran or Gary isn't starting. Those guys will be in the rotation, definitely. Svi has played really well. He'd be in the rotation. Yuta would be really, you know, would be a guy who's in there. And then depending on what you need, you probably go with Champagne because he's done a good job defensively, or maybe even go with, you know, another forward option. But that's already like 10 guys, and Malachi is not one of those guys. So I think you would need to see more from him, especially in the last 2 preseason games here. Like, I think you would need to see him make a better impact because so far there hasn't been that. And Delano, as wild as he is, when he comes in the game, he makes something happen. He will make something happen. It's been exciting to watch him because at least the viewer knows what he's going to do because we watch all these Raptors games and we're familiar that you know, he's not necessarily a shooter, and he'll look to get downhill. But the speed going downhill in transition, the length and activity defensively, the toughness there, he's fun. He's really fun. And while that's also not consistent point guard play, it's just, you know, he's been more productive. But honestly, if you had to, you know, split it basically between Goran and Fred working the, you know, the point for the Raptors, that's totally fine. It's not necessarily a need to play Malachi. So he needs to do better to sort of force Nick's hand. But, you know, on the whole, he's should still be ahead of some of these other third stringers. I think David Johnson came in, gave you 4 minutes. A really costly foul at the end there. I don't know why he was pressuring Juancho Hernan Gomez that badly. It's a tie game and you have no fouls to give. You got to know the situation there. Yes, you're supposed to pressure full court. Yes, Nick really wants you to get into the ball. But if you're fouling with the game on the line, that's never a good thing. I also think that, you know, Isaac Bonga has given them a couple of nice plays here. He forced a couple of turnovers just with his activity defensively. I think he ate an elbow to the face playing in the post. And you know, that hurts, but it definitely helps his chances in the sense that that's another turnover forced, which is great. He was plus 9 in 7 minutes, Bonga was. And, you know, he's also not a guy who's necessarily going to be that involved offensively. I mean, he's never really been that at his previous stops with the Lakers or with the Wizards. But, you know, he offers some nice skills. Defensively, he can come in and do a job. And he'll give you a little bit of ball handling, a little bit of passing. I don't mind him at all, really. And, you know, if it were up to me, I think Bonga is one of the guys you definitely keep out of the guys who are unguaranteed. Sam Decker came in, banged in a three confidently too, actually pulled up for three with the Raptors down three. They needed that basket, and Sam Decker just came in and provided it. That was fun to watch. Although, to be honest, only playing 3 minutes so far in this game, you know, it's hard to judge just based off those 3 minutes. But, you know, if the whole case is that he shoots threes a lot better than he did previously when he was in the NBA, you know, at least he was able to showcase that for one specific shot in the fourth quarter. You know, this is an interesting team with the Raptors. I think that because of the way they're going to play, because they're going to play so much in transition, because they're going to rely so much on being aggressive defensively and forcing turnovers, and because their half-court shot creation is a little suspect sometimes, although honestly, OG is really, really trying to single-handedly bridging that gap a little bit. But because of that style of play, like, you're just going to see some pretty wild runs, and you're going to see a lot of situations where the Raptors are able to pull together some really impressive stretches where they keep forcing turnovers, they keep getting on the break, they keep scoring, everybody's pushing the break, everyone's playing 100 miles per hour, there's long arms everywhere. That's probably the Raptors at their best, but also you'll probably also see a lot of static possessions where, you know, Fred's unable to create, or, you know, they can't get the ball to OG in the right spots, and Scotty's handling the ball up top, but, you know, no one's really guarding him, and Precious Achiuwa is sort of rushing into plays and sort of, you know, rushing himself out of plays. You will see a lot of that, and so that's where the Raptors will sort of vary, and you kind of scout the whole Raptors experience tonight for this specific team and what's to come this season. But I think on the whole, there's some pretty positive plays, and you know, I don't think anyone should be upset with the preseason loss, especially since this game was very, very close between the two teams. So in terms of your three stars from this game, I'm going to give the first star to I might give the first star to Scotty Barnes again. 9 points, 8 rebounds, or 8 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks in 30 minutes, 4 of 10 from the field. Didn't make any threes on 3 attempts, but I just like the way he set up his teammates. That's a really nice aspect of his game, that whether he's playing with the starters, whether he's playing with the bench, I think there's chances for him to create because he's going to get out in transition so often. And he has good vision. He sees over the defense. He's able to find cutters. He's making good decisions out there. He's playing defense really hard. You know, there's mistakes, as I mentioned, with sort of him helping off a little bit too much. And that's a team-wide thing, by the way. That's something a lot of the Raptors do, and that's probably just what Nick is asking for from his players, is sort of to be in two spots at once, because he wants to be able to help in the post. He wants to be able to help against bigs. He wants to be able to help against, you know, star players, he wants to collapse the defense so much. He wants a lot of help defense. But of course, the downside of that is knowing when to help, when, how much to help, and then to make sure you're not bleeding too many points the other way. And so Scotty sort of naturally doesn't fully have that balance down just yet, but he's playing really well. He's playing hard out. And again, he had the best play of the night where he blocked Jason Tatum, then went the other way and threw it down in transition. So I'm going to give Scotty the first star once again. I'm going to give Freddie Van Vliet the second star, 22 points, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 steals, 5, 3 rebounds, 6 of 8 from 3. You just kind of want to get to a point with Fred where you know exactly what to expect. And I think I'm at that point. I know exactly what to expect from Fred. Sometimes the three's not going to drop, and if that doesn't happen, he's probably going to have like a 40% shooting night or whatever. And, you know, you could sort of point it out. But for the most part, he's playing a really good game. He's taking pretty good shots. Maybe only one or two shots per game where I'm like, okay, you didn't really need to take that pull-up mid-range jumper, for example, or force something. But he's been really solid. He has set up the plays for his teammates. He is driving inside and kicking it out. One of the few players on this team who's doing that at the current moment. He's hitting his threes. You know, he's contributing defensively. There are no complaints with Freddie VanVleet. And hopefully he's totally fine after taking that hit from Robert Williams, because that looked scary for a second. And you definitely don't want to risk injuries in preseason. The Raptors already had enough of that with Boucher and with Utah going down. And then your third star, I'm going to give that to OG Anunoby, 17 points, 5 rebounds, and assists, a steal. I think he's been one of the three stars all three games. Not a surprise. He's been very solid. Slow start from OG, but when he started turning it on offensively, it was really fun to watch. The step-back jumpers, he got one in the mid-range as well, sort of driving against Al Horford and then stopping on a dime and pulling up. He is improving, and that is very encouraging to see. And honestly, if we're talking about leadership, that's leadership right there. You're a living example of sort of what the Raptors can do with the development system and what obviously players can do within that system in terms of their own work to improve, because the OG you're seeing right now versus the OG when he first came into the league is just night and day offensively. And I'm very proud to see him that way. And I think most Raptor fans are in the same boat, because OG is very, very, he's very exciting in the sense that he continues to improve. He continues to be really good defensively, while also starting to take some of the difficult shots. I mean, honestly, you look at some of the shots Tatum took, and you look at some of the shots OG took, similar difficulty and honestly similar results. Tatum 6 of 15, OG 6 of 14. So I'm not saying he's as good as Tatum offensively. That's a lie, and that's just, you know, he's not there yet. But if you're going to measure in terms of at least OG's progress, you can definitely tell he's making progress. So in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to Al Horford. Not saying that Al can't be a good player, because obviously he's been a great player in this league. He's been an all-star, you know, whatever, but 16 points for Al Horford, 4 of 4 from three, was just money on all of those. I think he's made a big difference for the Celtics just to have another hub to sort of play through. Offensively, another guy who is going to know where he's going to be. Defensively, he's pretty sound as well. 16 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. It's very clear why the Celtics wanted to get him back on the team. He just connects a lot of dots for them. Because if you're only relying on Robert Williams, well, he's a little erratic offensively. He's a little erratic defensively. It's almost like relying on Precious, for example, although they're different types of players. Al Horford just gives you that steady veteran presence from that 4 spot, and he played it really well today, burned the Raptors with a couple of threes. So that does it for the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I would encourage you once again to subscribe to the Raptors show on all podcast platforms. It's there shortly after it goes live on air, and you know, you can listen to the Raptors show, which it goes live 2 to 3 p.m. Monday to Friday with me and Alex. We got a really exciting list of guests lined up for next week, so we're really excited. Really want to carry the momentum forward from week one, where we were tremendously overwhelmed and very happy with the success of the show in week one. We got a ton of subscribers. We were really up there in the podcasting charts. That really was really, really heartwarming to see. And we want to continue that. So continue to subscribe, continue to leave reviews if you've liked the show, if you've enjoyed the show. And that's probably enough self-promotion for now. So thanks everyone for listening once again to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I've been your host, Ben Luke, and I'll see you after the next game.